So, the title of my talk today is Knowing What We Really Know. So you'll notice that during meditation, we were directing our attention to what we really know in the here and now. We know that we're breathing. We can feel our bodies. On a practical level, there are things we can really know. And by the way, unity is sometimes referred to as practical Christianity. And I hope that you're going to see that aspect of unity today from my talk. So, given that, why do we spend so much time trying to know what we can't know rather than anchoring ourselves and finding comfort in what we really do know? Well, let's take texting, for example. I know this isn't an unusual story for most of us, and I have variations of this story, but it usually goes something like this. Someone's very excited about a relationship they have. They text the person, and the person does not text back right away. Oh my God, the person thinks. She doesn't like me anymore. Oh, yeah, she's just playing a game, trying to get me to do all the attending, all the work in this relationship. She's probably sitting there laughing about the whole thing. By the time the other person gets back to the first person, he is so worked up. He is so angry. He feels so disrespected, disregarded, sure that this person means him no good. That when the person says, "Oh, gee, I'm so sorry, I didn't get back to you. I was in a meeting," he responds with, "Yeah, sure." And the relationship's over. So what's up with that? Why do we do that? This kind of insanity often starts off reasonably, right? You're just trying to prepare yourself. Well, if this relationship doesn't work out, I want to be prepared. If this person really isn't who I think she is, I want to be prepared for that. That's okay. And it can be benign for, a little bit. You come up with different alternatives. But then, when it gets you, when you start believing the scenario you created, you're in full-blown insanity. So if that happens with texting, think about what goes on in all kinds of other areas. So why do we do this? What's up with us? Scientists have discovered that the brain naturally seeks certainty over uncertainty. We hate uncertainty. So when someone says to someone else, "Well, you can't really know that," many brains go, it's a scary thing. We can't know that. So what we do is we create stories that give us the illusion, remember that word, illusion of certainty. Funny, scientists realized this. In the 16th century, way before any of this, Michel de Montaigne wrote, "Nothing is so firmly believed as that which we least know." And look at this. Science proves now that that's the case. That's what our brain does. The scarier the possibility, the more the brain holds on to the certainty it's told us. That's pretty phenomenal. So the problem isn't that we generate stories. Our brains are good at that. You know, a lot of good things would not have happened if people weren't imagining all kinds of things, wondering why is this and how is that. A lot of really wonderful things happen because of that. The problem lies in our attachment to the stories. That's where we go south, as they say. That's where we create problems for ourselves because we're sure of the imagining that we're telling ourselves. Whoops, I'm trying to do this gracefully. There's no hope for that. So it's like we become travelers going to the wrong address when we're seeking certainty that we actually can't have. Now, I'm going to find the actual page that I need here. Okay. So if I'm going to tolerate uncertainty, there are a few things I'm going to need to do. First, I have to accept that I cannot know certain things. The particular things I can't know are what's going to happen in the future and what's going on in other people's thoughts and minds, feelings. Those are the two things I can possibly know. And when you think about all the time and energy that's spent trying to know that, do you remember what happened with Y2K? So there was certainty. This, I can't believe it's 20 years ago. 20 years ago, there was certainty that when we moved into the millennium, that everything was going to be destroyed. Some of this had its basis in understanding that the computers were not set to be able to go to the year 2000. And it led to crazy panic. Supermarket shelves were empty. There was a run on gas. People were stockpiling groceries. And there was so much talk about the end of the world. Now, it turned out to be good that they realized that this computer thing needed to be straightened out. That turned out to be good. But the way we spin out of control is not healthy, guys. It's just not healthy. We need to be able to stay in that knowing so that we can tolerate not knowing. It turns out we're all still here after Y2K. So this goes on now. I have to tell you something really funny, and I believe in the power of coincidence. I picked this topic before any understanding of the coronavirus. I picked it. So I find that really interesting. And it doesn't have to be coronavirus that people are so terrified of. You listen to the media, and there is constant terror. This is going to be our end. This is going to be our doom. This is going to destroy us. And you know what? Who knows, guys? Something could destroy us. But in the meantime, what are we doing to create or to generate creative options, to help one another, to love one another, to be who we're supposed to be in this world? A wonderful quote again from Michel de Montaigne that said, "I have lived through many, many tragedies, most of which never happened." We do this to ourselves. You know, I'm going to say this. It's not that good either to get attached to your positive stories. So I no, this is all going to be good. It's all going to be okay. You'll hear a lot of that from some people in Unity. It's good. It'll all, you know, everybody's going to be fine. It'll be okay. Well, you know what? I don't know that either. But I do know this, that when people generate that and then something difficult happens, they're not in a position to be able to flow with it and to bring their best to it. It devastates them. They blame themselves. There's something wrong with my consciousness. I attracted this bad outcome. Or God hates me. You know, God's kicking my butt. Crazy. I got to tell you guys, I think it's crazy. Good things and bad things are going to happen. And if we are going to feel strong and resolved and okay in that, we need to be strengthening our internal wisdom, our internal strength, our access to the divine. We are not going to handle the joys and challenges that life gives us if we don't do that work. Instead of, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, that won't happen, this will happen, and drive ourselves absolutely crazy. So, we can't know the future, and we can't know what's going on inside other people. We need to challenge the stories we tell ourselves. Something like this. I know I texted, but I don't know what's really going on with that other person. She may have actually texted, and you didn't get it. She may be at a conference. She may be sick. Her battery and her phone may have died. There are hundreds of choices, but when our fear takes over, we're doomed. So that process where we say, what do I absolutely know here? I absolutely know I sent the text. Do I know it got there? No. Do I know she read it? No. What do I know? What don't I know? And I know we can get really philosophical here and say we know nothing or we know everything, or I just want to be practical. And when I'm talking about knowing, I'm talking about what can I be reasonably certain of? Okay, so just use that as a, okay. So we want to challenge what we tell ourselves. I can't be reasonably certain of anything that anyone else is doing. Let me know that. As with the meditation and the song that we use going into it, I want to focus on my internal bodily sensations in the here and now. I know that. Again, I don't know what's generating them. Oh, a palpitation. Oh, this is it. I'm dying right now. But you do want to say, oh, well, that's interesting. When I have that little bit of distance that says, that's interesting, there's a flutter or something going on, then you can say, okay, I'll check it out. But you could also say, this is who I am and what I feel. This is true. I am reasonably certain I'm breathing. I'm reasonably certain my heart's beating. Okay. And lastly, focus on taking actions that you can to make things better. And I'm going to use the serenity prayer here. If I focus on what I can do rather than the way I'm powerless, I'm making my brain feel better. And I'm also maybe doing some good in life, because my brain goes, I can't do anything, I can't do anything, I can't act, do. And our brains are programmed that way. They're designed that way so that they can sense danger and take action. So just make sure the action you take isn't crazy. The action you take does more good than harm. So I am now going to sing a song. And I'm going to invite Carol up and Roger. Because one of the things I can do is I can make music. And that helps me to feel God's energy. It helps me to feel what's true. It helps me to feel what's strong. I can listen to music. That's one of the things I do that puts me in line with that energy that I really want to cultivate. I learned this song when I was 14, maybe. I think it might be something like that. And the New Christy Minstrels sang it. Those of you who know it in your homes here, sing with us. Today, while the blossoms still sing to the vine, I'll taste your strawberries, I'll drink your sweet wine. A million tomorrows shall all pass away ere I forget all the joy that is mine today. I'll be a dandy and I'll be a rover. You'll know who I am by the songs that I sing. I'll feast at your table, I'll sleep in your clover. Who knows what tomorrow shall bring? Today, while the blossoms still cling to the vine, I'll taste your strawberries, I'll drink your sweet wine. A million tomorrows shall all pass away ere I forget all the joy that is mine today. I can't be contented with yesterday's glory. I can't live on promises, winter through spring. Today is my moment, and now is my story. I'll laugh and I'll cry and I'll sing. Today, as the blossoms still cling to the vine, I'll taste your strawberries, I'll drink your sweet wine. A million tomorrows shall all pass away ere I forget all the joy that is mine today. I sing a song like that, and I'm okay. And the more we touch base with our own okayness, and the more we listen to the message of that song, I'm going to find my goodness, my okayness, my rightness, right here, right now. And this is interesting, right? This isn't the circumstance I imagined when I thought about doing the talk today. I love our energetic, loving, vibrant community So this is a different thing. And the less attached I am to my imaginings, the more I can flow with what does happen, what is before me. So there's a book I read, one of my favorite books, by Wally Lamb. In fact, my quote for today comes from this book. And the title is, I Know This Much Is True. It's a very painful book, but he puts you through this really difficult set of circumstances. And then as you move through it, you actually, with him, find this beauty inside yourself and in humanity that lets you put it in perspective. It's a wonderful book if you can handle how painful it can be. And the book ends with this. Love grows from the rich loam of forgiveness. Mongrels make good dogs. The evidence of God exists in the roundness of things. This much, at least, I've figured out. I know this much is true. Love that. So it makes me think about, okay, so what do I know is true? And I have a list of what I absolutely, with reasonable certainty, no, it's true. And I invite everybody to do that and to spend some time with it. I think it'll help through these times of what's not known, through the times of all of the scary stories people are spinning about what's ahead of us. If you can anchor yourself into what you, with reasonable certainty, know for sure is true, it's going to help you navigate it. So here's my ideas. When I focus my attention on the here and now, I am most able to feel a sense of well-being. Paying attention to the ways in which I am blessed gives me perspective when I am also aware that something is difficult for me to accept. Noticing coincidences and miracles strengthens my belief in the presence of awesome energy. Noticing nature's beauty inspires me. Bringing compassion to myself and others makes hard things easier. And if we could have the slide, this is going to bring us into our affirmation. When I open my heart, I am able to receive the blessings of the universe. Will you say that with me? When I open my heart, I am able to receive the blessings of the universe. I know that for sure, and that's not a bad place to start. So thank you for being here today. Thank you for being there today. We're all together. We're all connected, and I can feel that right here, right now. Thank you.